Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Monday, the 14th of September. Very nice to have you with us. And let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll get on to the subjects at large, subjects at hand.
Yeah.
I don't know what else.
We seem to be a man short today.
Yes.
Where is he?
Well, here's the issue. Both Alan Chartok and Libby Post are celebrating the New Year, so they are out today. And that leaves us Catholics.
Domini.
That leaves me and Ray Graff and Rosemary Armeo to take up the panel
this
morning.
Oh boy, we're going to run wild today, aren't we?
Well, perhaps. Probably not. You know, we're in the brand new Studio A.
We're in Studio A. I was going to say this. This is now Friday's show. We did our last. For those of you who have been keeping score at home, I know everyone is riveted by this. But all of this is taking place to build us a new control room. Mm-hmm. And we've had this major undertaking, a project underway for a long time to overdo our control room. Well, part of that overhaul also meant that our regular studio, which we refer to as Studio A, would also get redone. So as that rehab was taking place, we were put into where we normally do the fun drive, which is a studio we call
Performance Studio.
Performance
which Sarah
studio.
Calls Studio X, and I thought that was the best.
Yes, it is. So the little they had the space in there for us, and we were there for the last several weeks. And I don't know, by the end of it, I got kind of homey.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
No, you didn't. All right. Well, so we're back in the confines of Studio A. But
there's new furniture.
We have new
furniture. It's big. It's like made for giants.
Left by ancient astronauts. Yes.
Yeah. The table comes up, if you can't see this, comes up to my shoulders. Yeah. So I'm
right.
Feeling now, like I'm two.
You now look like you're at the little kids' table.
I know.
That's
sure. How I feel.
Now, here's the thing. We'll get new chairs. So you'll be raised up.
Telescoping.
Yes, you'll be telescoping. And but the mic stands are very cool. I love it because there's great leg room. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's like flying.
My feet don't touch the floor, so the leg room's not a problem here.
Well, my thanks to the whole crew here who worked hours and hours and hours putting all this together. Between the end of the roundtable and the beginning of Vox Pop, it was like a NASCAR pit crew in here getting it ready.
And moments before Vox Pop, they were actually still wiring it. And I had the guest in here, and we went for it.
Well, that's the incredible thing. You know, stores do this too, where you're still able to shop, and they're renovating. And here, you know, we still have a radio show to do. So they did a great job, and we just thank them. And so there'll be some tweaks over the time. So look. Just do me a favor. We all love you. We love you very much. We as the radio talent love you, the listeners. We love you. We really do. Just give us a break on the. We're figuring out the camera angles. We'll figure out the chairs, the lighting, everything.
Right.
We'll figure that out.
Tom, this means you.
just give us a couple of days. So don't write in and say, you know, I can't. I only see Rosemary's right
the tip
eye.
Of her nose. Yeah, Kilroy was here.
So, anyway, peace and love. Peace and love. Don't write us. Okay. Let us go on to what's happening in the world. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and we welcome your comments as to your thoughts on what is happening in the world. So, Kim Davis went back to work today.
I'm just reading that.
And so...
But she's not going to do much,
cheerful.
Right?
She's tearful and defiant.
So the I got a thing from CNN when I came into work that she still said she wasn't going to authorize marriage licenses.
She wants the licenses to say that they're being issued at the behest of federal authority. She wants no part of them.
And she said I won't issue marriage licenses, but deputies can. And this is her return to work. And so I don't know how that – does that still not violate the
– It seems like she's right on the edge. You know, her lawyer has said the licenses that the deputies are sending out are not legitimate. But I think this meets the letter of the law. The deputies are putting them out, and they have the name of the Rowan County clerk's office on them.
I mean, couldn't she now, she's out of the slammer, couldn't she just resign now in protest?
She could.
Take it to court?
She could and she should. But she, you know, why should she? She's getting national coverage. Mike Huckabee is treating her like Saint Kim.
But from a legal standpoint, it would seem to me one possible strategy. You resign and then say, because of what happened, I was forced to resign, hence this lawsuit, hence going all the way potentially to the Supreme
Court.
Didn't
she already fight that and already go to the Supreme Court and lose?
Yeah. She is a democratically elected clerk. Is that correct?
Correct.
A democratically elected clerk who took over for her mother.
Correct.
Whose son is one of the deputy clerks.
Mm-hmm.
I also
unclear if he's issuing licenses. By the way, I don't believe.
I heard that he was not as of at least Friday. He was not that he had abstained or whatever. Because one of four, is that correct?
That's right.
The other thing, I don't mean this in any. I ask this just as a general question, but to the panel, I read over the weekend that her salary is $81,000 a year. Does that seem high?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Why would it?
A clerk in a very small county in kind of rural Kentucky. I keep saying the wrong state. In rural Kentucky, that doesn't seem high.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know that county clerks here in New York would make. That figure just as for a state job or a county job, right? That figure surprised me.
Maybe our smart listeners will call in, but at any rate,
it really has nothing to do with the issue at large.
To earn even half of that and to say, I'm not going to do part of the job, but I'm not going to quit, just pay me anyway, that seems as arrogant as all that she's been doing.
And that's actually, that's absolutely right, Rosemary, because I read that figure because in the coverage, they were saying that she was being paid as she was. She's still being paid as she was in jail.
She's in jail, right.
So it is, I don't know. So where do you think this thing, you have said all along that it'll go to court. It'll go to the Supreme Court eventually.
And she's going to lose. She just can't win this. I think everyone knows that, but they like the fight and the show. They like that she took the stand.
We are going to take what?
No, I think Rosemary's right. It's one of those rare occasions when we are in agreement.
Total sync.
Yeah, how about that?
I like it.
Yeah, it must be the short chair. I don't know.
We'll take a break, and we'll be right back and talk about other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.
Support comes from Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union, a local financial cooperative offering business checking, commercial loans, online banking, and more. HVFCU.org. The Adirondack Museum at Blue Mountain Lake presenting the Fall Fest and Fiber Arts Fair with family activities and fiber arts exhibitors on October 3rd. AdirondackMuseum.org for details. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive, and solar design elements. noble-home.net. And from Utica College, offering a Master of Science degree in Healthcare Administration online, utica.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Ray Graff is here.
Hi.
Rosemary Armeo, and which I did not give your official title when we were doing our introduction this morning because we were talking about your height, but University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter.
We had a typo. I was filling in for you, and we had a typo that called her an investigative
professor.
An investigative professor. We thought that was kind of a nice title.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I like that better, actually.
Well, yeah, that sort of sums it up better, doesn't it? The ever-investigating Rosemary Mayo. We have some letters, and then we'll move on to other topics. Joanne says, the average county clerk salary in Albany, New York, $35,000, says Joanne. Okay.
Yeah, so 81 is definitely
high. I was just surprised. I'm not passing judgment on whether anyone is worth that. My God, you know, whatever you can make, good for you. I was just surprised by that total. I thought that was a high for a municipal job that seemed to be a very
small place.
In a small place. That's right. Also, Josh says, just curious, but how gay couples are looking to get married is this small rural county in Kentucky. I can't imagine it's fair. Oh, how many gay couples are actually looking to get married in the small rural county? Well, it doesn't really matter.
Well, the gay community is not against making a show either. So we have some people who are probably just going there to get a license to make the point.
Also, we hear from Judith, who says, in regard to the Kentucky clerk in marriage, could the panel please comment on Mike Huckabee's statement last week, given that he is a presidential candidate, that Drew Scott is still the law of the land?
Drew Scott?
Yes, Drew Scott.
Dred Scott?
Yes, he said Drew, though.
Okay.
Well, I don't think we need to comment. I think you can make your own... I think you can make your own snide remarks, can't you? Also, according to salary.com, says Bobby, Kentucky court clerk salaries within Kentucky, there's a lot of variation. These variations depend on a wide range of factors from population to general competitiveness in the market. Salaries in the same region of Kentucky, plus or minus $32,000.
Okay, our listeners really do know everything.
I love it.
This is crowdsourcing.
And we go to Jorley, who says, now that Kim Davis can refuse to do her job because of religious reasons, do you see other cases like this coming up in the near future? I also can't see how she can take the gay taxpayer money.
Yep. The example you usually hear is, what about a Quaker clerk refusing to give a gun permit?
Right. Or a president refusing to enforce marijuana laws.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean... Or sheriffs who don't enforce the SAFE Act. It's all over the place.
Exactly.
Let's move on to another topic. We'll get to some more letters in just a bit. Not surprisingly, we have a lot on this particular subject, and we will we'll get back to those in a moment. I do want to also talk about, it was a fairly busy weekend for a holiday weekend as we get back in the swing of things here.
This was a holiday weekend. What holiday?
After the holiday. Today is Rosh Hashanah,
right?
Yes.
And then that was started.
Started
last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's technically. Sort
of, she's Catholic. Right. She doesn't.
She knows. She knows. She teaches at a university.
Okay.
We have holidays.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. I asked. We were talking just before we came back from the break. We did get a letter from. Let me see. We got a letter from one of our listeners who said, maybe now that it's just the three of us, we could talk about sports and the TSA, and that would be. That would make up the show, and then Array immediately went into. A diatribe about Tom Coughlin and the Giants
mismanaging the clock at the end of the game. I'm still furious. I was drifting off to sleep, and I forced myself to stay awake for it.
Yeah,
and I wish I hadn't. Now I'm scarred for like the next 6 months.
You know, and here's the thing: at halftime, as the Giants were came back to life and had a great last 2 minutes of the second half, or of the first half rather, and I thought to myself, "Wow, this is great." And then my wife said, "Well, do you think they'll win?" And I said, "No."
I said the same thing.
But it looked good, didn't it?
Nah. All right.
Now, anything on the TSA, Rosemary? You want to get it?
No. I'm no more rants.
Really?
I have to get. Well, maybe. Maybe if provoked.
The day's young. Actually, I am just going to go through a couple more letters because we do. We only have about a minute and a half before we go over to break. Michael says, "Where's Alan?" He is celebrating Rosh Hashanah, and so Happy New Year, and he'll be back tomorrow. We also got this from Josh, who says, trying to clarify his earlier statement, which was meant to say how many gay couples, and we figured that out. Thank you very much. Also, Ted says, there's a major problem with your argument, Mr. Huckabee. The Dred Scott decision was overturned by the 13th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution in 1865 and 1868. Thus, the Dred Scott decision is no longer the law of the land. It was superseded by specific amendments to the Constitution.
Excellent.
I didn't even see that he had said that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Huckabee was heavily covered in that particular situation. It was more Kim
We were
Davis.
More paying attention to how he was kicking Ted Cruz out of the event.
which was entertaining, it I was. Have to say. Anne says, I presume from the beginning that Davis is backed by a group that she has been given assurances of support and help. Well, it's her legal fees. Is it Liberty? I can't think of the name.
Gosh, I did read this. The premise is correct, though. She's getting lots of support.
Different groups that are helping her in this in this situation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We will go on to many topics. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Rosemary Armeo is here. Ray Graff is here. And we welcome your comments. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable panel for this Monday, the 14th of September. Very yeah. nice to have yep. you. Yeah. I was about to say the 14th of Monday, actually, and that's not right. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Ray and Rosemary are here, and we welcome you to chime in as well. Let's talk about some other topics, and then we'll get back to some of your letters before we take a break in a few minutes. Of course, the big story continues to be the refugee situation in Europe, and Germany says, okay, obviously Germany has been taking great strides in accepting as many refugees as they migrants and refugees, and at a point on Sunday, finally, they said it was reaching a breaking point and would implement emergency controls on its border with Austria, suspending train service and conducting highway checks along the main pipeline for thousands seeking sanctuary in Western Europe. I assume this is more of a logistic question, Rosemary, but I assume when they said we could take up to 800,000 that they knew there were going to be issues like this.
Well, no, I think actually what has happened is that there is a flood of refugees and there's going to be more than a million coming in.
Right.
And they're coming in a rush because everyone is sensing that they'll be closing of borders. Hungary's fence is about to be done. Mm. So getting to Germany is going to be harder and harder. And so the logistical problem has arisen that they're all coming in one big glut and Germany just can't process them. And while I'm a big proponent of letting in refugees, I think we should be letting in many more thousands than we are. You absolutely have to have controls on who's coming in because there's no question that ISIS and other terrorist groups would use this opportunity to get into these countries. So there's nothing wrong with countries wanting to control it. But I hope it's temporary. And the flood also points out how this is really not a German problem. I don't think it's really a European problem. This is a world situation. A country, Syria, is emptying out. And if anything, the continuing controversy and problems have pointed out that something must be done about Syria. You have to restore that country so that people can live there.
And then you hear stories like this off a Greek island on Sunday, 34 refugees, including four infants and 11 boys and girls, drowned when their wooden boat overturned and sank. So you're dealing with those issues as well as people are unable to.
It's a horrible humanitarian and safety crisis. And there's also the amount of misinformation being circulated is getting very frightening, too. I was reading on social media among some conservative groups saying that the majority of the refugees are men, like of military age, with the implication that they're all terrorists. And this just simply is not true. More than half the refugees are children. They're from all walks of life, and many are families trying just to live. That's all they want to do. Europe has done one thing right, which is that they're facing it and are dealing with it, unlike us on our own problem with immigration, which is not refugees.
Different.
Yeah, these are economic refugees, perhaps you could call them, but they're coming for completely different reasons. And we have turned it into politics, and nothing has gotten done. Europe, while it's messy and they're fighting, they're, at least they're sitting down and saying, okay, we all have to get together here and decide on a way to handle it.
You know, I try to put myself in the place of a head of state and try to figure out at what point does the moral imperative, your own humanity, which dictates you got to take some of these people in, at what point does that intersect with your duty?
Self-defense.
Well, no, with your duty to say, look, I've got to keep my country intact and the infrastructure can only handle so many. So at what point do you have to draw the line?
Did you see in Hungary the camera woman who was caught on film kicking kids, and she deliberately trips a man who's carrying a baby as immigrants in a big glut are trying to rush over the border? And she was fired for it. And she said, look, you know, I just panicked. And I think that's a metaphor for what's happening throughout that part of Europe, Eastern Europe. Lev Walesa, is that how you say his name? I always had trouble with it. The Polish former leader said, look, you have to realize Poland has only been emerging from communism for 25 years. And we're looking at refugees who are better dressed than we are. Our houses, our salaries are smaller than you have in the West. Of course, they're defensive and are worried about letting in people who are in need and who are going to really change the face of their country.
We've been getting a couple of letters, and I'm curious about the not only the coverage of this, but also the terminology that we're using. We've talked about refugee and
right,
immigrant.
Migrant.
And migrant, excuse me. Migrant and refugee. And what I think has been happening, the Times had a piece on this over the weekend about the correct terminology and in what mm-hmm. situation. And what I found in their coverage and just in what I just read is that they're using both.
Yeah, and both, they're not interchangeable, but you really do have migrants and refugees in this mix.
So it's, I know a lot of people are saying you should say this and you should say that, and I think, as you said, it is both.
I think so. I think Syria clearly are refugees. These are people just trying to escape. Some of the people who are trying to run out of Africa there's poverty is the danger to them. That's just not quite the same as, you know, your government firing bombs on you.
We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's go to the subject, which there were some interesting articles over the weekend about Jeb Bush. And so let's talk about Jeb Bush. We haven't talked about Jeb Bush in a little while, so let's do that. He was he started out last week by making news by being on the first guest of Stephen Colbert in The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And then since then has been plugging away, trying to do what he can to bring his campaign. Oh, by the way, we should mention we lost a candidate over the
finally.
Yes, one has dropped out. It was
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry finally said enough.
You almost forgot his name, didn't you? That was his problem right there.
I'm amazed, given how far he went prior to his debate meltdown last time, that he didn't even get any traction this time.
He didn't go that far last time. He was in that debate meltdown
and then he
almost
blew
at
it.
The start. He told, "Oops!"
And that was it.
And that was it. And don't you think that still hovers over him? I mean, that was a deadly error. They say that debates don't make a big deal except when you make an error. And
yes.
I think Perry's a really good example.
I think they make errors all the time. It's sort of how you handle yourself while making the error.
Oops, probably wasn't a good way to handle it.
Yes. So in recent days, Jeb Bush has spent time in his comfort zones, Kennebunkport, Maine, New Hampshire, and Miami. A four-day Labor Day break at his family compound was followed by a quick stop in North Carolina to unveil his tax reform plan before 2 days of campaigning in the Granite State, a state he needs to win and where he always seems to campaign with more ease. He attended a raucous rally in Miami on Saturday to open a new campaign field office just miles from his national headquarters to help him win Florida's Republican primary in March. So, since the start of the year, Bush has held political events in New Hampshire and Florida most often, according to the Washington Post review of his schedule. But winning the GOP nomination will require time spent in less familiar places, such as Iowa, where he earned just 3% in a poll there. And the article in the Washington Post says, slipping far back in the polls, can Jeb Bush bounce back in the next debate?
So I'm struck by how much the situation Jeb Bush is in resembles the one that Hillary Clinton is in. In both, they are the candidates with the most experience, the most political cred. They have done it all before. And both of them have also come out with policy papers. They have actually addressed the issues that we voters say we want our candidates to concentrate on, but it's really a lie because what we really want is the dynamics and clownishness of Trump and Carson and the rest of them. So both of them have been are now trying to find what the characteristic way they're going to address people to get more energy and excitement. I find them in very much the same situation. Why is Hillary slipping? Why is Jeb not caught on traction when they are clearly the leaders in both parties?
I think that you need to try an experiment, and that is watch a day's worth of news coverage on the coming primaries and leave the sound off.
Just watch him.
Watch the body language. And I think Jeb, if you look, and I've actually done this when the kids are making too much noise. The sound is actually on, but I can't hear it. He just looks like he's kind of slumped over, and he doesn't project a winner's, only in my subjective view, a winner's persona.
Well, don't forget, I mean, just a few months ago, we were, let's say, in the end of winter, beginning of spring, we were saying on this show, and I think most political pundits were saying that it was slam. Look, it's going to be Hillary and Jeb. It's going to be Hillary and Jeb. So now you have those two candidates who were going to be the front runners, who are fighting very hard for their political lives, and I think Jeb more than Hillary, of course. But the question is, how much of that is a reflection of people saying we don't want to be told? We don't want to be told who it's going to be.
That's a good point. Although Ray is right. I can remember covering news conferences in Florida where Jeb Bush would come out, you know, just big in control. He would kind of haunch over, you know, which I can't do, haunch over the microphone.
We'll get you a bigger chair.
And he would have his people. You know, my people would be out there if he goes, okay, well, this number is, well, I don't remember it exactly, Kim, and he'd point to someone and they would, he was in charge, and I don't see that now. He's definitely rusty. On the other hand, he's got to be in shock that he's running behind people he's running behind.
Right, and I think that probably explains the reason for the body language.
And why he's so peevish with the press. You know, he's really hurt himself with that.
I think the whole dynamic changes after, I think this primary coming up is massively important.
The debate, you mean?
Yeah, the debate. I'm sorry.
Not the primary.
Yeah, the debate this week is so important, and I foresee, in Alan's our predictor of these things, but in my crystal ball, I see a dynamic change in who the front runner may be.
Yeah, Jeb Bush can't play Donald Trump's game. You know, I don't care how much training he's had in the last, what has it been, a month? He is not going to learn. Trump loves to parry and thrust and to give it back and to just say whatever and make it work. I can't see Jeb Bush doing that.
And it's stupid. You're an idiot. And
can you see Jeb Bush saying that? It'll come off as arrogant and privileged and...
Right, but also I think there must be an annoyance. I mean, whenever you think about the guy, but there must be an annoyance knowing, for all of the reasons that you mentioned a few moments ago, quite eloquently, about you have a candidate who has put out papers, who has thought about the issues. You may not agree with them, but he's obviously thought about these issues. Right. And you say to yourself, I'm qualified to be president of the United States. How the hell is this happening?
Yeah, I totally think that's true. And I think Hillary has some of that, too. I mean, she's talented. She's got a historic campaign. She has put out lots and lots of papers. But what are we hearing? Well, you know, people don't really trust her, like based on that email thing, which is... Most of it, what we think we know about it, isn't even
true. Or Whitewater or many other things, right?
And what came out of Whitewater? That's another thing. That Whitewater is very much like the email thing. It was all lots of smoke.
Does it matter?
No fire.
To the general public, does that matter?
I think it does matter.
By the way,
I want to
ask you one for clarification on one thing you said earlier. You had mentioned the cartoonish behavior of Trump and Carson, and I just wonder what cartoonish behavior Carson is engaged in. He seems very low key.
He doesn't believe in climate control. He's a scientist. He's a neuroscientist and doesn't believe in climate control. That's kind of a problem.
Climate change. We have climate control in the studio.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's because I'm freezing. I'm sorry. All my speaking is influenced by the new studio. Yes. By he does not believe in what science is showing, the incontrovertible truth.
We're going to just take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some letters, and then we'll also go on to some other issues. And we'll round out the hour here on the roundtable. Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo, I'm Joe Donney. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Gloversville Sewing Center, Gloversville and Saratoga Springs, New York, a quilt shop offering Bernina and Janome sewing machines. GloversvilleSewingCenter.com. We're worth the trip. Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com. Godfrey Financial Associates, Glenmont, New York, celebrating 20 years of providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond. An independent, woman-owned financial advisory firm, GodfreyFinancial.com. And from the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, WaldorfSaratoga.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A lot of letters. I want to get to as many as we can, and then we'll move on to some other topics. Bob from Albany says, my prediction is that Bush and Walker's attempts to attack Trump will be overwhelmed by Fiorina. She is the one to watch. You were talking about body language earlier. I was watching her on Road to the White House over the weekend, and man, she is very formidable.
Yeah. We'll see in this debate. This will be interesting.
Well, all I can think of is Donald Trump's insult to her, that I didn't like her until now. I want to defend her against Donald Trump.
Well, she's doing a fine job defending herself.
Yeah, she's a very good debater.
My prediction is, we also got this one from JJ, who says, even if the political establishment takes over again, the people have made it clear that we are fed up with the same old BS.
True.
Also, Ray is so right, says Ted Dixon.
I don't even know what, but exactly, Ted.
Jeb's body language has been terrible for a while. Shoulders stiff with arms just dangling. It's never good to look uncomfortable, which is that's a great point, is that, and you can say that about a lot of these candidates.
They don't look like they fit.
Uncomfortable, which is one of the things that we can say many things about Donald Trump, but when he gets behind that microphone, he looks very comfortable.
Yeah, and if you want to see some more uncomfortable people, WAMC.org, click on the video stream. Hello, howdy.
We also have this from Bob. It says, my prediction is to watch Bush and Walker's attempt.
I did read that one.
I got a very similar letter before that. I think I accidentally
deleted.
All right, fair enough. Well,
sorry about that.
Also, we have this from Bonnie, who says this going back to the crisis in Europe, the surge of humanity toward Europe is like a mass of drowning people threatening to capsize the rescue vessel. The solution is to stem this bleeding at its source, and I'm not seeing that happening from any country or group. We did talk about that a little bit on Friday of what's actually being done
in Syria. But she's right. Nothing promising.
We also have this from a listener who says the people are sick of being lied to by the politicians. It's a joke how Obama got into office. People are sick of same old, look at the polls for every outsider leading the pack. We also got this from Grace, who says, considering the fact that our war in Iraq created ISIS, America should be the first nation to step up and take in refugees. As Colin Powell says, that it's Senate Pottery Barn rules.
I don't know.
I don't know what that
but I want to look
like
at
cider house rules. I have no idea.
I don't know. I know. It sort of looks like it was cut and
pasted. If you break it, you pay for it.
Oh, that's it.
I see. Okay.
Very good, Rosemary.
Well,
thank
done.
You for helping
Three
us
points.
Out on that. Yes. 10 points for Gryffindor. Why is there a refugee crisis? You guys are speaking about this as if it came out of nowhere. Our government supported the opposition in Syria, which is essentially al-Qaeda, has prolonged this war instead of putting some moral imperative upon the West to accept hordes of people. Why don't you put the moral imperative on our government to leave Syria? There was no crisis before we started stirring the pot in the Middle East.
Yeah, because Assad will figure it all out. That's fine.
Andrew says there's plenty of significant difference in what is happening in this case of the federal government not enforcing marijuana laws in certain states.
Oh,
this
good.
Is in
I'm so glad somebody
Ray
got back
comments.
At you for that.
I'm sorry, can you read the beginning of that again?
Yes. Hi, Ray. There is a pretty significant difference in what is happening in the case of the federal government not enforcing marijuana laws in certain states than what was occurring in Kentucky with a public official refusing to honor someone's rights under the law.
I'm not sure, because as a president, you're sworn to uphold and enforce the laws of the land. And if you decide, if you have an a la carte where you pick and choose, well, listen, I think, and maybe rightfully so, the marijuana laws are draconian. We won't enforce the federal laws on the states. Then how is that any different than not enforcing another law that is entirely due and proper?
Well, the difference is that in several states now, and an increasing number are also considering this, state law conflicts with federal law. We have a system in which you resolve those sorts of conflicts in a court of law. In gay marriage, that conflict has already gone to the Supreme
Exactly.
Court, and you have a rule that not states are breaking, not police are deciding not to What, to not to, you're looking at me?
No.
I'm afraid of him.
No. We're far apart. This is not like one of what was his name? Tomato and Hillary. You make a point.
That
but
bad man away from
the
me.
The states, I mean, if you have federal law.
Not Tomato, Lazio, by the way.
Lazio, right.
Yeah, sorry.
If you have a federal law and you don't enforce it, read the marijuana laws, and you let the states go ahead, how is that?
They're
not
really letting the states go ahead.
Sure they are.
What they're going to do is not cause a conflict until this gets resolved in a court of law, which we know is happening. It's already happening. It's very similar to gay marriage, where
But that was decided already.
Right, but go back to in history. Were police really hunting down homosexuals living in sin, living in crime, knowing that these laws were in flux and in change? It's the same sort of thing. I think it's something that happens in a system like ours.
I think it's an issue, and it doesn't matter what the quality of the law is. For instance, there are many sheriffs who say that the SAFE Act was a ridiculous law.
Right.
And some are not enforcing that law.
Correct.
Is that not also not doing your job?
Yeah, I do see that similarity a lot. And it's up to the governor to enforce that. It's up to the legislatures to make it a priority. Yeah, I do see
what we have is here from top to bottom,
right.
from Washington to the street corner, is an erosion of authority of law.
I do. I'm really worried about that. I think that's really true. And we've heard it before with gay marriage, too, that we're just not going to obey this part of the law. Don't listen to the
well,
government.
Well, if you go back on that and the gay marriage issue, DOMA was decided.
Exactly.
But prior to that, president said, look, we're not going to enforce this either.
Right.
So
right.
There is, and you can go to any state and any county and you'll find similar cases.
Well, I can remember in 2000 thinking, wow, this in any other country, when this the court says, okay, this guy's president and this one is not,
yes.
there'd be protests, there'd be fighting in the streets, there could be anarchy. And it didn't happen here because we do obey laws no matter what the court rules, even if we think the court is political, even if we think it was a bad decision, you still go along with it.
I was watching the NewsHour last week and the guest's name escapes me, so I apologize for that, but made a really interesting point, which is a great surprise that there was only Kim Davis who actually said, I'm not doing this. And even as she has fought this, that there has really been no one coming
else has
who
said, she's right, I'm going to do it too. That's
right.
A good point.
That's fascinating.
My final question for Rosemary.
In the 2 minutes we have left.
You could ponder this. If, in fact, all of these things are happening at the state, county, local, national level, at what point does John Q. Citizen say, I'm going to have an a la carte menu and pick what laws I in fact, will decide I will go on?
You have hit it. I think that's totally the danger that we're facing.
We're in trouble, people. It's over.
On that note, we are just about out of time. We want to thank you very much for being with us. We do have we do have one quick question from Ildo, who says, Rosemary, can you explain the difference between refugees versus immigrants?
I can. Do we have time?
12 seconds.
We have a minute.
Go.
Refugees are in trouble. They're running for their lives. It's an acute problem that they face compared to people running from the Holocaust. And migrants, it's a voluntary thing. They move because they want a better life. They want a different future for their children.
Well, and Ildo was saying, asking that, aren't both seeking a better life?
Yes, but one is in imminent danger, I would say.
Yes. We're going to end there. Thank you very much for being with us. We thank you for your letters. And we also want to thank Ray.
And Rosemary.
And Rosemary.
Don't forget the lockbox, people.
Oh, my goodness. I have a total, but here we go.
Okay.
You want to know what the lockbox total is?
$85,245.
$85,245. The lockbox is now open. We would like to get this as high as we possibly can get it before we start the fund drive.
So let's get to a million before the fund drive starts.
On October 5th. So we only have a few weeks, and it's going quick. So, but $85,000 is great, but please, whatever you can do, WAMC.org, go on there. You'll see where we are, and you can help out however you can. And we'll keep on updating you throughout the next couple of weeks. Again, WAMC.org, and maybe on this Monday, we could make it to 100.
Cool.
All right, let's try for that.